Let me just jump right into the message today. There's a very interesting pair of scriptures that I want to talk about today. In fact, they're the words of Christ, and they're seemingly contradictory. They almost seem to contradict each other. Jesus says one thing in one place, and it seems like he's contradicting himself in another place. But as we will study today, and I really believe this is probably one of the most important truths that the Church of Jesus needs to get a hold of today in our world. Our world is a mess. I don't know if you've seen that or not. Have you noticed that? There are a few issues in our world right now. And I believe that if we will understand, though, what Jesus is wanting to teach us today through these two seemingly opposite passages of Scripture, I believe it will make all the difference in the world and how we relate to not just to this world, but to one another. So let me just jump right into that today. Let me show you the first. John chapter 14. Jesus makes a statement here. John chapter 14, verse number 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you." Boy, peace is something hard to find these days, isn't it? It's pretty hard to find a place in the world that is at peace. It's hard to find a home in this world where there is peace. But this is what he said. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we could just take what Jesus said there when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled and don't be afraid." Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if all of God's children could say, "Okay"? Wouldn't it be great? It'd be wonderful if we could say, "Oh, okay, I'm just not going to let anything bother my spirit." So, but the part of the verse I wanted to show you was, and really would draw out to you, was Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Now, when we look at that this is one of those verses, if it weren't so long, this one would probably find its way onto these wall hangings. I mean, this is a beautiful statement, right? You know, this is like it's right up there with "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," you know, where they put it on a wall plaque, you know, and hang it in our houses, or you put it on a coffee mug and all that, or one of those things where you make a picture out of thread. What is that called? What is it? Cross stitch, needle point. See, you all don't agree on it, so how am I supposed to know? Whichever one that is, where you spend like, you know, weeks or months doing this, and then it makes a picture, that's, you know, it would be right up there with that, right? You could put this on one of those, and it's kind of one of those verses that it just seems so wonderful to share. But it also seems to be in total contradiction to something else that Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Look at verse 34. He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth." In the King James, it says, "Do not think that I have come to send peace on earth." Now, that seems like a contrary message even to what we sing at Christmas time, right? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So we have these seemingly contradictory passages of Scripture. Jesus said, "Hey, peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you." And then he said, "Don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a what? But a sword." Well, now that really doesn't sound... But he didn't even just stop there. Take a look at verse 35. He said, "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Now some of you're like, "Hmm." Yeah. So what's going on here? What do we do with these two passages of Scripture? Well, how do we reconcile these? John said, John recorded Jesus saying, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you." And then Matthew recorded, "I didn't come to send peace to you. I didn't come to send peace on this earth." And here's the thing. It's all about these verbs, and it's all about the timing of when Jesus said these things and what he was referring to. So let me develop this morning, please. Jesus said in this passage here, in the book of Matthew, he said, "I didn't come to send peace on this earth, but rather a sword." Now, what was the purpose of the sword? You notice there from the context, he said, "I came to bring a sword to divide people." Did you know that the cross is divisive? Listen, the cross is divisive. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword to divide people. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to divide. I came to divide people. What are those, you know, what is that? That's from those, and we're going to let this side kind of be those that have accepted what he said, that believe in Jesus, those that chose to follow him. He said, I'm going to separate these that have chosen to believe me and follow me from those who haven't. Are you with me? He said, I came not to just bring peace, but I came to divide this world. I came to divide the population of this world into two groups. Now, we'll leave the Jews out of this for just a moment because that's kind of a special group, and we're not going to get into that right now. But he said, I came to divide this world into those who will believe me and follow me. And when I say the kingdom of heaven is at hand and you want that, you want to be a part of that, you accept, you believe that Jesus was God, you believe that he died on the cross, all of those things that we talk about all the time. He said, you are in one group and everybody else in this world is in another group. Now, listen, folks, I know there's lots of religions, and I know there's lots of opinions out in the world, but the fact of the matter is there are really only two groups in this world, and that is those who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ and those who haven't. That's a truth. It's not a truth the world likes. It's not a truth that even some who profess to follow Jesus like, but it is a truth. Okay? He said, I am a way, the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes unto the Father except by me. That was Jesus' words, right? So here's the thing. So this sword. So Jesus said, look, I came to bring a sword. I came to bring a sword to divide this world into those who are going to follow me, those are going to who are going to follow me, and those who are not. So here's the thing. So when he then said in the book of John, when John recorded what Jesus said, when we read that verse where he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Please don't miss this. He was talking to this group. Are you with me? He was talking to those who made the choice to follow him. He said, peace I give to you, which he also, he didn't actually say it, but what he was in essence saying was, but this group over here, this is what he called the world. This group knows nothing about peace. Have you noticed the world knows nothing about peace? Right? The world doesn't know anything about peace. The world wants peace. The world thinks it knows how to get peace. There are whole segments in our community right now, whole segments in our world that have all the right they've got. They know how to bring peace about through the world, through legislation and through this change and that change. And you know, we get that. We read about that every day, right? But the world does not know peace. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword because I need to separate these groups into people. And he said to this group here, those that chose to follow him, he said, now, you are going to get something that the world is never going to understand. I am going to leave peace with you. I'm going to give you the opportunity to have peace in your life. The rest of the world has no understanding. Let me show it to you. John chapter 16. This is the way John wrote it later in chapter verse 33. Jesus again speaking. He said, these things have I spoken to you that in me, you might have what? In peace, you might have peace. In the world, you will have what? So watch. He said, look, in me, you have peace. He's talking to those who chose to follow him. But he said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. Any of you have any trouble in this world? Anybody got any trouble in this world? Have you noticed how much this world loves you? I mean, look, it's pretty, I mean, this is basically what he said, right? He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, I've overcome the world, but understand, in me you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation because the world knows nothing about peace. Paul later wrote something about peace that passes all understanding, yes? So what's going on in the world? The world does not know anything about peace. In fact, let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse number 17. He said, the way of peace they have not known. He's talking about, the world. The world is what Jesus called anybody who is not following him. And he said, the way of peace they have not known. Why? Verse 18, because there is no fear of God before their eyes. So watch, here's what he's saying. I have given you peace. I'm leaving peace with you. Before Jesus left this earth, he said, I'm going to leave my peace with you. I'm going to give it to you. But they're not going to have any concept of that. This world is not going to have any concept of that. There's no fear before God. They don't care what Jesus had to say. And so therefore, they're not going to know anything about peace. So what's the real difference between those who have chosen to follow Jesus and those who haven't? Well, I can tell you what it ought to be. The real difference is Jesus, yes? In fact, look at Ephesians 2, verse 14. I know I'm going through a lot of scripture here. But here's what Paul said. For he is our peace. You follow me now? So, we have these two groups of people in the world. And I would guess that most of the people in this room right now, you would at least, you consider yourself to be a part of this group. Those who have chosen to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a believer in Him. We are the church of God. That is probably most of the people in the room, but it's probably not everybody in the room. But there is something that this group of people is supposed to know that the world has no concept of. And that is peace. So when Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace on the earth, but rather a sword, he was saying, I didn't come to send peace, I am peace. Jesus said, I am peace. So while he was here, some believed in him and he left that peace with them. And now, here's where we're at then. So why does all this matter? Why am I even talking about this? Why does this matter? I'll tell you why it matters. Because that should be the defining difference between those who follow Jesus and those who don't. Peace. Peace ought to be, well, you're kind of a dead crowd this morning. Peace ought to be the difference. When the world looks... If God looks down on this earth, what he ought to see a difference, the marked difference between this group and this group ought to be the fact that Jesus said, I'm leaving peace with this group. What that means is this. That means, child of God, that your home should be in peace. My home should be in peace, not in pieces. Right? My marriage ought to be in peace. The relationship between again, I'm talking about those who are in this group. So if you are in this group, the world ought to be able to see a difference between your marriage and their marriages. Sadly, that's not the case. Sadly, that's not the case. So something's wrong, right? Hey, isn't it true that if Jesus said, if the church knows something that the world doesn't know, doesn't it follow that the church ought to be doing something that the world isn't doing? Ought to be speaking in a way that the world isn't speaking. Ought to have an attitude that the world doesn't have. There ought to be a marked difference, and the difference shouldn't be one of these issues of our day. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. The difference when we look at the two groups, those that follow Jesus and those that don't follow Jesus, it ought not to be some of these issues that we're reading about in the newspaper. What it ought to be is this group ought to be at peace. There should be a peace. Not just among ourselves, but within ourselves. Do you know God's people ought to be at peace? The heart of every person in this room right now ought to be able to be at peace, regardless of what's happening in our world. Parents, you ought to be able to be at peace about your children, regardless of what this world is trying to do to your children. You say, well, how can I possibly do that? Because there's so many terrible things. I know there's a bunch of terrible things. This world doesn't know anything about peace, but you know something that the world's not supposed to know. And that is that somehow, some way, there's supposed to be peace in our lives. Our homes ought to be in peace. Our marriages ought to be in peace. Your contribution at work ought to be a peaceful one. Our contribution to our community ought to be a peaceful one. And by the way, you can't be peaceful if you're holding up signs about hatred. You know, these idiots at Westboro Baptist Church, there is nothing Christian about that. Well, that wasn't nearly as popular, but that's true. That's just stupidity. And all that does is further the chasm. See, folks, there is a chasm in between the world and the church. And by the way, there should be. Did you see me almost trip? You did, didn't you? Hey, there is a chasm between the church and the world, and there should be. There should be a difference in our lifestyles. There should be a difference in our vocabulary. There should be a difference in a lot of ways. But the biggest difference ought to be the fact that this group is at peace. And when this group is looking across the chasm to see what is so different, there ought to be something that they want. And it's not your politics. It's not my politics. It's not the things that are being talked about in the news all the time. It's not the things being protested. It's not the potential laws. It's not who the president is or who the congresspeople are. It ought to be peace. Because everybody wants to be at peace. Now, I say that. It doesn't seem like everybody wants peace. It seems like some people like to be angry. But that's few and far between. Here's the thing. We ought to be at peace, not just among ourselves, but within ourselves. Hey, husbands, you should not just be at peace with your spouse. You should be at peace with yourself. Wives, parents, children, teenagers, you ought not just to be at peace with your parents. You ought to be at peace within yourself. And if we're not, then something's wrong. There is something wrong if you are not at peace within yourself. Because Jesus said, before he left this earth, to those who have followed him, he said, I am going to leave peace. Not only that, he said, I'm going to give my peace to you. So if we're not at peace, why is that? So, you know, if right now we are seeing this sword of Jesus dividing our world, I think too many times God's people, we look at the world and we think, oh man, it's so divisive. There's so much wrong because we've got all these sides. Look, you realize right and wrong should be divided. Right? They're not supposed to be blended together. But the difference shouldn't be the issues that we're looking at in our world today. The difference ought to be peace and no peace. Peace within my spirit, no peace within my spirit. Peace among God's children. Obviously, there has never been peace among the devil's children. Has there? John, you're older than anybody that I've ever known. Have you ever known a century that didn't have war? No, people have always been at war. There's never been peace in the world, never. But there's supposed to be peace over here. Because Jesus said, I'm going to leave my peace with you. See, the issues, you know, and please understand what I'm about to say. The identifying marks of those who follow Jesus ought to be the fact that there is a peace in our lives that is not over here. But doesn't seem like that's the defining traits that the world wants right now. What kind of things? See, right now, here's what the world wants. The world would like for the defining issues between them and those who follow Jesus to be things like abortion. Yes? Come on. This is what the world would like us to focus on. The world wants this chasm to be all about this side is pro-abortion, this side is anti-abortion. The world would like for this to become a thing of this side is about gun control, this side is about personal liberty. This is what's happening in our world, yes? Generally speaking, the world would like for the defining thing to be those who follow Jesus versus it to be all about homosexuality or LGBTQ or all these kind of things. That's what the world wants this to be about. The world wants the defining characteristic of it versus those who follow Jesus to be all of those issue types of things, the environment and all those things. Now watch. I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't take a stand for what they believe to be right. But what I am saying is, it ought not to be the real defining characteristic between this group and that group. What ought to be the defining characteristic ought to be that this group has a peace that that group cannot understand. Because it's never known peace. It doesn't have the potential to know peace. See, this group believes, and I'm not being derogatory toward the world, I'm just stating a fact. Jesus said, I am peace, right? He is our peace. If they don't have Jesus, they don't have peace. Yes or no? But we have Jesus, right? So therefore, we're supposed to have peace. And the world ought to be able to look. See, here's the thing. This chasm that exists, we can see each other, right? The world can see us. The world can see you. The world can see me. And I can see the world. And the question is, what do they see? What do they see? Do they see, do they hear us ranting about these issues of today? Look, there are some Christians who think that they're serving God by continually forwarding anti-whatever, political, LGBTQ, all this stuff, forwarding that to all their Christian friends, saying, oh, you can't believe what's going on in the world. What do you expect to go on in the world? Do you think that the world is going to understand biblical concepts when it doesn't even believe in Jesus? You see, so we think I understand why the world wants it to be about these issues. What I don't understand is why Christians want it to be about those issues. That's what I don't understand. What I don't understand are Christians who follow Jesus, who said, I want you to have peace, wanting to be so angry about all the things that is going on in the world. God is well capable of taking care of some of those issues. God doesn't really need us to deal with those issues. What God needs us to do is find a way to bring people from here over to here. And we will never do that. We will never do that over issues. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to continue to say it. I wish I had made it one of our 11 principles out there on the wall. You will never win a soul by winning an argument. You will never win somebody that you disagree with on sexuality by having a sexuality argument with them. It's not going to happen. You're never going to win them. We're never going to win. You're never going to win somebody. You're never going to win somebody to Christ by talking about gun control if they're opposed to that. Now, maybe if you're, no. Maybe if they're confronted, no. No. Listen, we're never going to win people like that. And Jesus said that shouldn't be the defining characteristic between the Christian and the non-Christian anyway. It's not supposed to be about the environment or gun control or homosexuality or any of the other things we want to talk about. Any of these things that are being talked about. It's not supposed to be about that. It's supposed to be about the fact that you can sit over here in perfect peace and somebody from this side of the world is looking across from you and saying, how can you be at so much at peace? That's what it ought to be about. Because that is the one thing that Jesus said, I'm giving to you that they're never going to understand. And that's a good thing, because if they understood it, then they wouldn't long for it. Don't you think that the lost world is longing for peace? Isn't the lost world longing for peace? I mean, I would like to think that the world wants to be at peace, both among and within. This should be the defining characteristic. See, my fear is that so many of God's people want it also to be about those issues. If you want it to be about those issues, then I believe you've lost sight of what Jesus really wanted us to define ourselves by. Take a look at Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19. I want you to notice the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Rome again. He said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? He said, go after the things that make for peace. Well, what makes for peace? Wherewith you may edify. That means build up. He said, look, the things where you can build somebody up, the things where you can encourage somebody, those are the things that make for peace. He gave an example. It's going to seem a little odd if you don't know the context, but look at verse 20. He said, for meat destroy not the work of God. You know, he was talking about there was a disagreement in the church over meat that had been offered to idols. And there were some people that said, hey, it's no big deal. It's just meat. And the idols aren't really things anyway. And we all agree with that, yes? But for some people, for some young Christians, maybe that was a big deal and they didn't understand that. And so he said, look, so if that becomes an issue, just don't do it. Don't let the work of God be destroyed because you're eating this meat or not eating this meat. He said, just do something else. Right? So his point was this. His point was the world needs to see peace. Get your eyes on the mission, not on meat. So child of God, let's get our eyes on the mission and not on whatever issue is so prevalent in our world right now. Because please hear this. Even if what you believe so passionately about gets defeated somehow, even if somehow right wins the argument right now that's going on in America over whatever the issue is, please understand this. There's just going to be a different issue tomorrow. I mean, a year and a half ago, it was Black Lives Matter. What a horrible thing for the African-American community that was. Black-on-black murder is up 54% during that period of time. Defund the police. See, that was the issue then. Now it's, you pick. Okay, this is Pride Month. Let's don't go crazy because it's Pride Month. I'm not saying like it. I'm not saying join. I'm not promoting. I'm just saying don't go crazy over that. It's just an issue. And it's not supposed to be what defines Christians. Your stand on sexuality is not supposed to be what defines a Christian. Is it a part of Christianity? Of course it is. Is personal liberty a part of Christianity? Of course it is. But it shouldn't be what defines us. What should define us is the fact that there is a peace about me that the world cannot understand, and it has to look over at me and say, you got to tell me what it is that helps you be at so much peace with all of this chaos in the world. I feel like I've lost some of you. I'm not going to say that. I want to say it. Listen, you know, let me find a place to land here. These issue things in our world right now, that is between the individual child of God and God. And I'm not saying I will never mention, I will preach truth. Please understand that. Look, We preach truth here about homosexuality. But along with the truth about homosexuality, I also preach the truth about immorality among heterosexuals. Okay? And so we need to understand that. But those issue things, those issues are what is taking away. If we get so focused on those issues, we're losing sight of what the world really is looking for. Because frankly, the world doesn't care about your side on those issues. But what it does care about is having the same peace in their heart that you have. And if we can somehow show that peace to somebody in this world, an individual in this world who's looking for peace, and they come over here and they choose to follow Jesus, guess what? He can change their views on anything he wants to. They can grow. I think we need to remember that Christians don't come. Christians, this word up here, edify, means to build. Do you know that Christians don't come pre-built? This is not like home. Okay, homes. You know, there's a difference between a stick-built home and a prefab home, right? I think sometimes we think that Christians ought to come like a prefab home. That means you lay the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, which is good, obviously. And then we think some truck's going to bring that Christian in and just set them down in place. They got everything right. Plumbing's all in, electric's all in, it's all good. It doesn't work like that. Did you come like that? I didn't come like that. But at the same time, a house can't build itself. If you're a young Christian here, and by young I mean if you don't feel confident in all the things that you know that you really understand what you're really supposed to know about Jesus and about this thing of Christianity, first of all, good for you for recognizing that. Because there's a whole boatload of people who think they know. But you need to seek out somebody who can help you because you can't build yourself. You can't build yourself. Houses don't build themselves. We need, listen, good marriages don't build themselves. Sometimes we need to, Jesus followers need to remember it takes time. Listen, it takes time to build a good marriage. It takes time to build a good marriage. It takes time to build good friendships. It takes time to build good ministries. It takes time to build things in our lives. We need to remember that. I think too often we become impatient with people. We want to, and the reason, and what we're doing is we're oftentimes looking at these issues and we say, well, boy, this person's just not growing in the Lord because they still have some of those worldly concepts. Well, so do you. You just don't know it. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. We don't have every issue right, and that's okay because not all the issues really matter in the grand scheme of things. So let me just say, if you're a young Christian, I want to encourage you to find somebody to help you. You know, you being here on a Sunday morning is a great start. You know what would be a great next step? Start coming at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Do you guys have a good time today?
Yeah.
Did you learn anything today?
Yes.
See, I thought you two knew it all. Know-it-alls. No. Look, everybody's got something to learn. Come back on. Look, Wednesday night is where the real Bible teaching happens around here, folks. I'm just being honest with you. The people who come to Wednesday night Bible study, I promise you, are most of the time really have a better handle on the overall picture of again, I'm not just trying to build a crowd there. I'm just telling you the fact. That's where the real deep Bible teaching takes place. And we can't build ourselves. We don't build ourselves. Get a mentor. Get somebody who can help you to learn more and grow more and become more of that. But choose people. Watch, and I'm done. But choose people to hang around with. Choose people to learn from who are at peace. Don't choose issue-driven Christians. Don't watch don't follow the bloggers or whatever it is that you want to read about. If they're issue-driven Christians, they're not mature Christians. Look, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not dancing around it today. I'm just telling you straight up. If you, and I know this is where there are some Christians who think they're taking a stand on this issue and, boy, I'm going to fight this. Go ahead. I would rather somebody look at me and say, boy, why are you so happy? How can you be at so much peace? Well, I'll tell you how, because I realize God's got this. And I'm going to stay in my lane. Mostly. Unless I'm passing somebody. Which is most of the time. Let me just say this. So if you are a young Christian, seek the things that go for peace. If you believe yourself to be an older Christian, but you are so focused on all these issues, I'm just going to tell you straight up. If you think you are a mature Christian because you got it all down right about sexuality, the environment, gun control, all the politics, blah, 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 you're not a mature Christian. If you think that is what is supposed to be the difference between you and somebody over here, because it's not. It's not. I have a verse for you and I'm done. Hebrews 5:12. For the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Let's not let that be said of God's people. I can't change the world. I can't change what's going on in other churches, but I want new hope to know what Jesus really wants us to be focused on right now. And that is showing the world that we're at peace with each other and within ourselves. Issue-driven Christians aren't fighting the fight that they think they are. And I hope that makes sense to you today.